Hallelujah. The quiet time, the times of worship, that's the best. And that was a loud, resounding amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't you enjoy the presence of God? You're not getting bored with it, are you? Hallelujah. Singing a while ago, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And I got to thinking, who would want to be in a place where the Holy Spirit's not welcome? If the Holy Spirit's not welcome in that place, I don't want to be there. Amen? Then we sang, your miracles are great. God is miracle. He doesn't do great things. He is great. We need to adjust our lingo and our understanding. I know we'll sing. We'll sing with praise. We'll sing with mercy, worship. But we need to begin to see who God really is and what He doesn't do. He doesn't have to do. He is. One of the effects of this study on me is that I'm walking in a lot greater peace than I've walked in a long time. Isn't that one of the main primary outflows of being in the presence of God? Not because He gives you peace, because there is no peace without Him. If He's not there, there's no miracles. It can't be. It is not there. Well, I don't want to know what He isn't. I want to know what He is. I know when He's there, He's everything that I need. I don't have to ask Him for provision. That's what He is. Remember our example? Connie's up here. She can't come without who she is. Praise the Lord. He is peace and He's joy. Salvation. You know what really gets people saved? What is salvation? Isn't that God? Doesn't the Spirit of God do the drawing? What's that mean? That means the presence of God is doing the work. Drawing people into who He is, which is salvation. I'm not going to rock anybody's boat, but I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be drowned. When you're underwater, if you take a breath, you get the water. I want to drown in the presence, the Spirit of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, tonight we come seeking You. That is Your mind, Your revelation, Your wisdom. Most of all, Your direction and Your will. We're not filling time this evening. Your people came to converse, to have communion with You. I know that's what You want. Now we're in agreement with You. We don't have to ask. We just have to receive You now. We will leave here changed. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. I want to... My wife asked me how many more sessions we're going to have. I think I could, in thinking about that, how do you teach anything from the Bible without the presence? So I could spend the rest of my life. I better not say that. The last time I said six, he said, you got it six times. So I better watch what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read about 16, 17 verses of Scripture, and then we're going to read it again. And I hope that's not the most you've ever read this passage. Are we there? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There are two questions that I want to briefly cover tonight. I say briefly, I lie. I want to cover them tonight. And the questions are, how do we leave or how do we lose or move from God's presence? And how do we get Him back or get back in His presence or get His presence back? The reason I say it those different ways is because some of us haven't quite seen it all the same yet. You know, when you see it right, you'll speak right. But up until then, you'll just speak like you see it. That's what hopefully teaching does, is it brings us into a way of looking at something that's a correct way. All right. What happens or how do we lose the presence of God? How do we move from the presence of God? And number two, how do we go back? Now let us read this quickly. Then he, or Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, or wild living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. That's a good story, isn't it? Do you think that God put that in there to entertain us? Just make good reading. Something we can use in Sunday school class, especially for the little children. If we will know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, the reason we open the Bible is because there's something in there for me. And that the Word of God is the healing of God. It is the restoration of God. It is the provision of God. And if we don't start treating it like that, it cannot do the work that it's supposed to do. Why? Because you don't see it correctly. You must see it as what I just described. You must see it as your provision. You must see it as your thirst quencher. You must see it as your healer. You must see it as something that is provided for you personally. And after you've got it, you can give it away. But you can't give it away unless you've got it. Amen? What are you getting at, Stan? Well, if you'll open the Word and you will hunger and thirst for the Word, you'll get it. What will you get? Revelation. How many times? Every time you look at it. It never gets old. Never gets old. Will it always change you? Every time. Well, how much can I get changed? Find out. Don't sing about higher ground. Go there. All right. Now let's study this Word. Let's meditate on the Word as we study. See what it does to us. Let's go back to verse 11 again. I'm going to make a little commentary, a little challenge. Remember, the goal of studying this parable, this story, is that we want to answer the first two questions I ask you. Remember? That's right. First, or the 11th verse. Then he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Let's qualify. Were they both the father's sons? So there's no doubt that the father birthed them. Is that correct? If we're going to enjoy the presence of God, we must, before we ever enter in, understand I'm a son. It is amazing to me how many people believe in God, believe in what He can do, go to church, even some praise and worship, and don't know Him as Father, as the true, the one and only, the one that takes the place of all others, Father. What does that make me? Son. I was dead, and when I was born again, I became alive. My old bloodline passed away, therefore generational curses can't come through. A new blood was birthed in me. It was a strange blood. It was a blood that can cleanse and purify and does. Gives life and not death. And I'm not the only begotten. There are many. But I have to know that. Because if I don't know that, I don't know who to turn to when I'm in trouble. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods. I don't want your presence. I don't want your spirit. I don't want your communion. I want goods. Sounds like a lot of television ministries anymore, doesn't it? I want what I deserve. I want that thing that's fallen to me or that is mine. So the father divided them up to them his livelihood. To who? Did you ever notice that before? To who's them? He had two sons, didn't he? Now you can go to the end of the story and say, what this other guy complaining about? He said, you never gave me a goat. See how selfishness and foolishness can retard us? When we pray, when we're in the presence of God, when we have communion with the Father, we need to eliminate words like give me. I want. Please, would you do? Please, would you help? See, even when you're polite, it's not right. If you're in the presence of God, you've got it all anyway. What are you asking for? Those things become more important than God's presence. When you're in the presence of God, you're having communion with all provision. So you can't ask for anything more. If you got it all, what are you going to ask for? You see what I'm saying? If you're asking all the time, you must not have it all. Therefore, number one, you haven't realized you're the Son. Number two, there's no communion with the Father. What did I tell you that this study was doing? It's creating peace in me. I don't have to go around worry about, am I praying correctly? I'm not even too sure if I stay in the presence. I need to pray. I need to praise. I need to worship. But I don't know if I need to pray. I would get it. You got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to work mine out. But I tell you what, when you just walk into His presence and all you can do is grin, that's okay. Did you know God has moods too? I won't prove that to you tonight, but I'll just tell you, sometimes He's in the mood for praise, and sometimes He's in the mood for worship, and sometimes He's in the mood for quiet. Just quiet. Just be with me. Sit there. Kind of like me. Verse 13. Back to 12 again. Please, let's fellowship with the Creator of all. Let's don't try to get all. 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with doing his own thing. Do you think fathers really raise their sons so they'll do their own thing? You don't know anything about generational blessings if you think that's the reason you raise a son. Selfishness and curiosity. Remember in the garden? Curiosity killed the two cats that were in there. They wanted to taste that. Wonder, but look at that fruit. That looks pretty good right across over there. I know we're not supposed to be over there, but I wonder. Well, he wondered. Selfishness and curiosity or wanting my fun, my way, will always lead you away from God. He will also always lead you into a waste experience. If you don't obey God in your tithes, you'll have pockets, but they've got holes in them. You'll never be able to earn enough. There'll never be enough fun. There's not enough hours in the day to play, so I don't get enough sleep. There's a chemical over here. There's a drink over here. There's something over there that I need for just a little more fun. And we'll all wake up just in the absence of the presence of God. We'll wake up destitute. If provision is in the presence of God, the opposite over here. We got to understand that. I don't want to walk in a waste experience. 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He was in lack, then he was in want. When we're in lack, we're comfortable with not enough. When we're in want, we just figured out we don't have enough. We just figured it out. Then we can move right into need. Such a joyful place. He began to be in want. Leaving God's presence will remove what is valuable to you. If fun was created by God and you move out of the presence of God, we just walked into the fool's bar and grill, right? If joy, if the only source of joy is from the presence of God and we leave, well, what are we expecting when we get there? How about safety? Leaving God's presence will remove what is valuable to you and cause you to walk in dryness and lack, drought, famine, and want. That sounds like an enticing thing. We'll go back. Look how dumb we are. Let's just say we are. In the garden, they were in a perfect place. No want, no need, had everything. And they wanted something else. Isn't that what I'm talking to you about tonight? Being in a place where everything, there's nothing else we could want, and wanting something else. Verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. You know why he had to join himself to a citizen of that country? Because he was his father's son. He couldn't be a citizen of this one. Did you hear me? Let me tell you something. Once you have God's bloodline, you are going to be miserable in any other country. Miserable. I highly recommend you don't choose that. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. He was such a good friend. He said, go party with the pigs. I don't want to do that. My sons don't want to do that. So you get to do that. Now let's call this what this is. This is sin. Anytime you walk out of the presence of God, you rebel against the will of God, which this guy did. You are in sin. It may not be, there's two types of sin. One is sin unto death, and one is missing the mark. This may not, and probably is not, evidently is not, sin unto death. But he is missing the mark, and it is sin. And the wages of sin is, and he's now suffering the wages of sin. He went there to get life, and that more abundantly, and he found famine and drought and misery and pig wallows abundantly. Sin will always yoke you with the world and cause you to do things that you never believed you would do. Did you hear me? That man, that son, born in a wealthy home, never believed he'd feed a pig. He had servants to do that. And he's beginning to get the picture of what sin causes. It causes you to fall from a reigning position to a servant's position. He never thought he'd go that far. How many testimonies have you heard of people that fell into sin and talked about things they don't even believe now they could do? By the way, sin is a pig wallow life. You know that? Anybody ever been around pigs? A pig will root a hole, wait for the water to come, defecate, urinate in that hole, and then lay there as the water comes up around them. And enjoy the stink. And say, isn't this the good life? Come on over here, other pigs, and join me. Let's really make this hole rank. You go ahead and mess it up real good, and by the way, you too, and we'll just enjoy the mess. I could get... Anyway, 16. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods, the garbage that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. The enemy says, come on out of the presence of God, come over here, we'll have a lot of fun. And then when you get over there, he won't even give you trash. Won't even give you slop. What do you get in the presence of God? Manna from heaven, right? Slop? Manna from heaven. Streets of gold? Pig wallow. Your plan for the high life will always lead you into slop. Let me tell it to you again. Your plan will take you to slop. God has a plan, and you have a plan. Choose you this day. God's plan, your plan. See what you want to smell like. Selfishness produces selfishness. He went there, give me what's mine, give me the goods, I'm going, I'm going to party hardy. It'll last forever. It was a selfish move. He didn't care what the father thought. He wanted to do his thing. He got out of the pig slop, and they wouldn't even give him slop. Selfishness yields selfishness. You're tight with God, he's tight with you. It's the law. God doesn't break the law. He is the law. 17. But when he came to himself, what did it take to get him to come to himself? That's another message. I could walk you through the stages here. But he had to come to desperate situation, right? Well, that's why do I want to do something that is going to take me right out of safety and provision and joy to where I come over here until I'm worried about starving to death? Oh, I'm really hungry now. I think I'll go back. Makes a father feel good, doesn't it? 17. He came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. What hit him right about now? The memory of the father? The memory of the presence of the father and the provision of the father? Does that sound like what the Holy Spirit does when we get ourselves all screwed up? That he comes and he puts a memory in us? He puts a desire in us, especially when we're starving to death. He has easy access right about that time. He'll always remind us of how good it is to walk and to live in God's presence. He's hungry and thirsty, and he's not enjoying it. He can go back to the Father. He can hunger and thirst, and he'll enjoy it. 18. I will arise, brilliant, and go to my Father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. If we're going to get back to the presence of God, we have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to realize that it was us that went wrong. This is the hardest thing for us wise humans to do, is to say, God did not do this to me. I did it to me. God didn't make a mistake. I made a mistake. God didn't blink his eye and lose track of me. I lost track of him. He had this provision all set up, and I left it. I am the dope. When we can say that, now we're ready to go back. The first time we go back and say, Father, you didn't tell me. He's going to say, another trip around the pig pen. You haven't learned yet. You need a real bath before you come back here. It'll start with a bath of humility, repentance. We have to come to the end of ourselves. Repent, turn around, and start back. It's required. 19, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And the minute you try to do right, the enemy's going to come back and tell you it's impossible. You set the trap for yourself. You got to understand that. The enemy doesn't walk into the presence of God and have conversation. He can't stand there. So he catches you when you're not looking or outside of the presence of God doing your own thing. And you start doing the right thing, which is, man, I messed up. I got to go back and repent. And he says, too late. There's nothing you can do to get back to where you were. You've done this, you've done that, you've done that. And he can't. Nobody can forgive you. It's impossible. You're too dirty. Look how you smell. You think the Father's going to take you back? He's ashamed of you. Listen to me. The enemy says that. The Father is ashamed of you. And if I can't keep you from going back, at least go back beat up and defeated. I'll never get back to the place that I was. I want to take a lower position than a son. You remember the pastor's been talking about guilt? This is it in action right here. I'm going to go back, but I'm going to take a lower position than a son. When in reality, there's only one position. Take it or leave it. Our total goal, our total fixation must be to get back. Listen carefully. We must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our worth in this equation is not going to work. Did you hear me? This equation about us getting back to the Father, back in the presence, will never be based on our worth. Don't try to throw that up. It'll just make you sick. Don't do it. I remember the first time that I held my son. It changed my entire life. I'm the Father. I'm supposed to be the one, the tough one here. But that little ball of goo changed my life. He did things like poop on me and puke on me. Tried to pee on me. I changed diapers. He stunk. He ate everything he could touch in the house. And he was always my son. He wasn't worth shooting. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't do anything but fall down, tear up toys, mess up the house. And yet, he was always my son. I decided that. He just had to go along for the ride. If he started saying, I can no longer be your son, I can no longer be your son, it's a foolish decision, but I'll honor it. Then do your thing. And when you come to your senses, come on back. But I'm not coming after you. Did you hear that part? I'm not coming after you. This is my provision. This is my presence. This is the thing that I've established for you. I'll be waiting for you. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. The first smart thing he's done in this whole story. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Now that determines how far off he is. His father saw him and had compassion. That's because that's who he is. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He left good, went to bad, now has to leave his place and come back to the Father's place. It's required. God's not going to come to you. He's not moving in the pig pen, sitting down the wallow and saying, come on back. He'll send the Spirit to whisper in your ear, but he's going to be waiting. A lesson we'll learn. We must believe. Do you believe you're a child of God? Then you must believe that he wants to worship you. How do I know that? Right there it is. Hugs and kisses. I just told you that the definition of worship is to move forward as to kiss. He wants to praise and worship you. Do you believe what I just told you? Hard to swallow, isn't it? That God the Father wants to praise and worship you as soon as you get back. How do you think you receive provision and healing and salvation? Because he decides to give you a hug. And when provision gives you a hug, you're going to be blessed. And when healing gives you a hug, somebody's going to rub off. Can you imagine God walking up and giving you a hug and cancer staying there? 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now this is the second time we've been told when you sin, who you sin against. Have y'all caught it? Who do you sin against? There was something added in this one. I sinned against heaven. I sinned in the sight of God. I sinned against you, God. But I sinned in your presence. Now he's talking about if he sinned in his presence, he must have sinned before he left, because he just got back. My goodness, you mean you can sin in the presence of God? Oh yeah. The minute you decide that you're not in the right place, or it's not enough, or I need a little more. God says, oh, that hurts. That hurts. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Do you know he's right? Because it's not his worth that made him a son. We've got to openly admit we were doing wrong. We must fall on God's grace and mercy and his worthiness. Did you know he's worthy enough to forgive you? You're not worthy enough to forgive anybody, but he's worthy enough to forgive you. We must know that only God's presence, his will and his blood can and will allow us to return and reside. It's one thing to return. It's another thing to move in. 22. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. He lost everything, did he not? Was he hungry? Dirty? Probably lost weight? Matted hair? He looked hungry. Father said, that's not what my son looks like. Come on, are y'all listening? That's not what my son looks like. I don't care what you want, son. The minute you came back into my house, you're going to get to looking different. I'm not having this in my house. Who's in charge of the wanting here? The father. He just wanted to be another pig feeder out back. Because now he's qualified to do that. The father said, that's not what I had you for. That's not what I birthed you for. I hire people to do that. Scripture says, to those that please God, he gives the job to the sinner to go out and gather up wealth and bring it to the righteous. Is that you? Are you the righteous? Are you the son? You the daughter of God? You start getting a hold of who you are and whose you are, you might get a real good faith grip on what you have. God never desires us to remain in any position other than sonship. Let me say it another way, since that didn't bother you too much. There is no second fiddle son. There's only first chair. You used to play the saxophone in high school band. There was only one position you wanted to be in. That's first chair. Forget that. I don't care how many are down the line. I'm not going down there. This is where I want to be. God says, I don't have another place for you to be other than son. If you came back to be a servant, does not compute. I don't have that job description. I don't have a servant's blessing. I have a son's blessing. You want a son's blessing? If it's yours, take it, verbally, if nothing else. Bring out the best robe. Which robe? The father didn't own anything but the best. How could he give anything else? Did you ever, ever see anybody get a second best salvation? Do you get a second best salvation? There was nothing else. That's all he had to offer. If he wants to bless you, he's only got the best to bless you with. He doesn't have here's a little bit of blessing. That's all I can afford today. This is good. Here's another one. I thought he split all of his properties up. Did he not say? He split it all up and gave it to the brothers, did he not? Well, how can he still have the best? That's because you think like a human instead of like a God. God wants you to think like a God, not a human. He doesn't want a human in a God house. He wants you to get rid of that human thought process and begin to move into his thought processes. What are you up to, Stan? I'm going to tell you this. Your sin, your foolishness can never deplete God's provision. That's what this is telling you here. Bring out the best. But you gave me everything. Ah, not everything. Because I am everything and I can't. That's okay. Don't argue with it. Believe it. It says it right here. His wealth is never depleted by my foolishness. That's including his grace, his mercy, his healing. Well, see, you don't have the right to be healed from lung cancer because you smoked for 20 years. Oh, really? God's not enough. Is that what you just told me? And you expect me to believe that, number one, and have confidence in you, number two? Don't be talking dumb to me and say you're smart. He only wants the very best for me. Did you know if I plan my life, I'll never do it the best way? Because I don't own the best. I belong to the best, but I don't own the best. So I don't have the provision here to plan the best for my life. So if I walk over here where God's at, then all of a sudden the provision is now inactive. I mean, enacted in my life, and I walk in the best. Only He can do that. I can't. Let me say it another way. I don't like that phrase I just said. He will do that. You can't. Please change. Let's change our terminology. Let's not talk about what God can do. Let's talk about who He is. Then we can understand what He can't do. Is there anything God can't do? Yes. He can't curse you. He can't take away your provision. A man that is everything, an entity that is everything, cannot walk up to you and take away something. You understand that? Because He's just dripping with everything. That's what His anointing is, everything. And so if you brush against that anointing, you get everything. Unless you don't believe it. 23. This is good, is it not? And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. God wants communion with me. Did you know that? He wants to sit at the table and eat with me, but not just enchiladas. Whatever you think is the very best, that's what He's going to serve. And it's not going to be skinny stuff. It's going to be the fatted one, whatever that is. And guess what? He catches the check. He sets the table, provides the provision. You don't got to cook it. You don't got to hunt it. You don't have to kill it. It was all taken care of. And then He catches the check. I'll say, oh no, it's that one's on me. Remember that series I taught that time, Have One On Me? You ever walk into a bar and somebody says, Have One On Me? Walk into God's bar. See who catches the check. His command is, as we bring up our past, His command is, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry. Be happy. But you don't know what I did. What do you mean I don't? No, you're right. I don't know what you did. Don't worry and be happy. Does the Bible speak of God not being able to look upon sin? And what makes you think He can see your sin? Where did we get this theology? Why do we burden the Father down with bringing up our past when He says, I've cast it into the sea? Here's His statement. For my son was dead. Sin is death, is it not? My son was dead and is alive again. Wait a minute. I didn't hear the Father say, you're forgiven. What happened to the forgiveness? What happened to the falling on your face and begging for forgiveness? What happened to all this stuff that we're taught we need to do? You know what we're taught we need to do? Get back. It's that simple. All He had to do is make a decision. I'm wrong. The Father's right. I'm headed back. And the Father fell on Him with hugs and kisses. Best robes, best food, and caught the check. All you have to do is believe it. That's what the Bible says about your salvation. All you have to do is believe it. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. They. All of them. That merriness that the Father is jumped on them. The Father's wealth and joy is in our life with Him. That's a hard way of saying we make Him happy. Evidently, y'all are just so holy, this isn't getting you. He worships us because we're there. We make Him happy. I'm a smile on my Father's face. I don't know what you are. I make Him happy. He loves to see me, and I love to see Him. He loves to talk to me, and I love to hear Him. I don't find it necessary too often to tell Him how to do things. And when I do, I feel very foolish. Doesn't take me long to figure out. There's only one bright bulb in this room, and it's not me. I just need to enjoy the light. Our physical possessions, our acts of joy, they don't impress Him. So we need to quit working for those goals, and we need to let Him put the best on us. 25, now His older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. It must mean that for a season there wasn't music and dancing. That's what happens when you're not with God. There's a hole, there's a void. Do you want to pain God like that? Do you really want to make God lonely? So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Sounds like anger is not a good part of this formula, does it? See, how many of you know? Now, I know it couldn't have ever been you, but how many of you know somebody that's gotten mad at God? Y'all have never met anybody that's mad at God? You're serious. I've been hanging around the wrong crowd. Now, if you tell the truth, you're going to admit that you've been mad at God too. And what this tells you is that you can't go in when you're mad. He wasn't just mad at anybody. He was mad at the Father. How do I know that? Read. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Isn't this great? He's out here throwing this little spoiled brat temper tantrum. And the father comes out and says, come on in. Man, the party's great. Y'all see the feed. Y'all see the feed. I'm picking up the check. I'm giving away gifts, best robes and everything. Come on in. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. Oh, let me see. Can I reach around? Could you help me pat me on the back while I talk? I'm going to tell you, Father, how holy I am. I'm going to tell you, Father, how good I am. I'm going to tell you something you don't know, how much I've obeyed you, how much I've honored you, and how much you owe me. I've served you all these years. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. Now he's believing a lie. The Bible says all have sinned, right? And yet you've never given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Well, of course not. I don't want you to make merry with them. I want you to make merry with me. You don't make merry with me, I'm not giving you squat. And by the way, what about all that stuff I divided with your brother? What'd you do with that? You couldn't even buy one young goat? You want a young goat? I gave you plenty of provision. Go buy it. The point being here is that God is not happy with our works. He's happy with our presence. Man, you got to get this down. Our works don't please him. That's the least we can do. The least we can do is obey his commandments. The very least we can do is not rebel, not steal. Goodness alive. His pleasure is us being with him. You know, what I need to do is work harder, make more money so I can give to God because that's what he needs. Verse 30, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood, didn't he still have the best robe and the best food and the best... Okay. He's devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. No, he didn't. He killed the fatted calf for all of them. He said, come on in. Can you imagine one guy eating a fatted calf? That's a pretty good party going on here. And then he insulted him. By the way, answer me this. How do you know he's messing around with harlots? This person that never sinned. Maybe he was down there also. Maybe he just wanted to gossip. Maybe he just wanted to hurt him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me. And all that I have is yours. This is just a story. God would never speak to you that way. It's in here for you. This is in here for me. All I got to do is believe. It's for you and me. What he's really saying here is, aren't I enough? Am I not enough? I mean, I'm everything. How much more do you need? Verse 32. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Once again, I'll point back to the fact that he didn't get a party because he was worthy. He got a party because he was back. Are you back? I don't care if you left or not. The story was the same to both of them. Come on in. Party's fine. Eat. Here's the best. And I'm picking up the check. Why don't we as Christians understand something? That when we judge, we will be judged by that same measure. That's a promise. It's not going to be broken. Who suffered here? The one that left and came back, or the one that stayed? Who suffered the most? The one that left. Why didn't you say, I'm glad you don't have to suffer anymore? Why in his heart of hearts he's saying, you need to suffer some more because you need to be as good as me? How much time I got? How much? Oh, I'll do this fast, okay? 10 ways to lose the presence of God. Number one, disregard God. I can't do this fast. Well, I'll finish it next week. The 20 things, the 10 on how and the 10 on how to get back, I'll give you next week. Y'all will enjoy that more. Because you're now trying to hurry me. I can feel it. It's called a tease, is it not? I've got some good things here. They'll be better next week. With age, they'll get better. Are y'all enjoying this? Because I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying it. I really am. I'm up here convincing myself of things that I'd probably never thought about before. And I'm disappointed y'all aren't as excited as I am. I'm just trying to get you to say so. I really believe they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It takes word to seal this. It's not my word that's going to seal it in your hearts. It's your word. It's your decision. This is not, and I sprinkle something on you and smoke a little smoke on a rope and then you're all carrot. It's not it. It's not it. It's your decision. When you believe this, what I'm teaching, what the Word of God is teaching, and God's using me to do that. When you believe this, you've got this. He believed if he went back, he'd at least have a better place than he was. So at least start there. That's not where I want you to stop. I want you to understand that there's an invitation given by your Father who birthed you to get yourself back where you belong. I got the best robe. How many best you got? That's all I got. And I got enough. Don't you worry about it. I got enough. Yeah, but I spent all your money. You think so? I might have a few extras. I might, if you'll trust me. If you don't trust me, do you know how untrusting a civilization we are? It's the reason we're not at peace. We're at unrest because we don't trust. If you trust God, you got to rest. My wife last night, she went to bed worrying. And then she tried to put that on me. And I said, I'm not going there. And you shouldn't be there, so stop. I don't want to hear it. She got up this morning. Guess what she was doing? Worrying. Follow me out the doors. I'm trying to get away, and she's worrying me. And I turned around once I got some distance, and I said, I said to her, what are you worrying about? Why are you looking for things to worry for? I thought there's a formula. It will not add 1 inch to your height. It'll not put one buck in your pocket. It'll not give you any more importance in the community. Why in the world do you want to worry? And when I got home, she wanted to party. I wasn't in the mood to party. I got to get ready and come down here. Because I'm worrying. Serving God is fun. If we believe in the fun God. And serving God is a pain in the you-know-what if you think that's who he is. If you think he's a tyrant, if you think he's a just God, which means he's mean. That's what usually when they say he's a just God, that means he's just getting me. You're serving the wrong God. You know the wrong God. Or, as the pastor's been talking about, you see what you believe. Now, why don't you believe the word and watch your eyes change? And then you know what's going to happen? I mean to bring that picture. You're going to start seeing yourself as God sees you. And once you pass that stage, you're going to look in the mirror and see God. Y'all didn't just answer me. Oh, you didn't do that, did you? Good, good. I want the Word of God, the visions of God that I'm talking about, to set you on fire. That's what I want. But it's the strangest fire. It purges you from worry. And it gives you peace. And your clothes don't smell like smoke. And the only thing that fire does is break your bonds. Amen? Y'all stand with me. Praise you, Lord. Aren't you thankful that we can sit up here? I can sell you on something that's true. Don't you just dislike salesmen? I meet them every day. And I don't like them. Because most of what they're selling me is them. Don't you believe? I believe all right. And I, in good conscience, can come up here and sell you something that I know that I don't have to guarantee. I will guarantee it won't do you any good, but there's a higher guarantee. Hallelujah. You receive tonight?
Yes.
You believe?
Yes.
All right. Father, I thank you that by the words of their mouth, that they have received you tonight. And they will leave this place on a higher plane, just as they sang. And they're expecting more and more and more, and they don't have to work at it. They just have to fight the good fight of I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Save, cleanse, heal, redeem, change. And don't stop here. They touch somebody every day. Let those people be changed, redeemed, and healed because they are. And let it all be for you. Let it all be for you. We ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, amen. Thank you for your time.